O God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our minds and our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are continuing to look at the Psalms, and if you'll remember, the psalm that we began this series with was Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. All of these psalms are in a section of the psalms that are labeled the Psalms of Ascent. They are the psalms that pilgrims would sing and recite and pray as they walked to Jerusalem for holy festivals. As we read this particular psalm, I thought to myself, this psalm is a lullaby. This is a psalm that you sing at night before you go to bed. It is significant because when you are a pilgrim on the journey, when you're backpacking or in a strange place, getting to sleep can be a difficult thing. You may be near people that you don't know and strange sounds. You may be wondering about what wild animals are around. And in a world without electricity and illuminated light, it may well be so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. And so it's hard to settle in for the night. This is a prayer for settling in for the night. It is a lullaby to sing to yourself and those with you on the journey, and to be reminded that God is present. There are prayers for eventide, as it is called sometimes. And even though we don't always, in the United Methodist tradition, worship at night, it is a reminder to pray and to invite God into our presence, to review the day that has been, and to let go and to rest peacefully as we go into the night ahead of us. In his book, Living Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminds us that God began by creating the night. Check it out sometime. Look at Genesis chapter 1, and you'll notice that each day is marked with the phrase, there was evening and there was morning, and it was good. And Bonhoeffer reminds us that part of God creating night first is a reminder that God is in control. That when we go to sleep, when we rest, we have to let God be in control. We have to cease striving. We have to let go. Even though that can be a long and difficult process. Indeed, because we do have electric lights and we have all kinds of technology. The task of our lives or the worries of our mind mean that we can put off going to sleep longer and longer. And I know I'm not the only one that when I lie down in bed, immediately my mind kicks into overdrive. That sense of all the things that I didn't get done in that day. Or maybe on really bad nights, all the things I've ever failed at or done wrong in my lifetime. Over and over again. And then there's all the worries for tomorrow. Maybe just the tasks that are ahead or choices that need to be made and decisions. And again, our mind can go back and forth and to and fro and never truly rest. We can lie in bed and not ever actually get to sleep. Not actually rest. So here is a prayer that is a lullaby that encourages us to rest, to trust that God is at work and God is in control. As I was working on the sermon and as I was also preparing for my new member class, the readings for that class this week reminded me of the acronym ACTS as a way of praying through our lives. ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And as I looked at this psalm at 131, I thought, you know what? You could pray this psalm for each of those areas because it contains all four. And as you look at it, as you think about it, it gives a different nuance, a different depth as you pray this psalm each of those different ways. I thought about adoration, and I'll tell you, to me, that's one of the most important elements of the Psalms. It's one of the reasons why it's most important to me. It has what is almost a unique image in Scripture. A child snuggled against his or her mother, resting quietly. That sense, that importance of bond between parent and child, and the ways in which that bond, when it is present, comforts us and nurtures us and creates good things. It reminds us not just that we adore God, but that God adores us and loves us and cares for us. It is a reminder of how children are wired to know and to love their parents, and how their parents' presence in their life gives them comfort and trust. Last spring, I was meeting with our clergy group, and one of my fellow clergy members always brought his newborn daughter to eat breakfast with us. And it was amazing as she grew, because as she grew, she slept less and she was more alert. And the thing I noticed about her was he didn't have to hold her all the time, and some of the rest of us got to hold her and pay attention to her, but her eyes never left his presence. She knew exactly where he was, and if she was moved such that she couldn't see him, she would immediately start moving her head and her eyes and fussing. She knew who her father was and how much he loved her. Sometimes we have a hard time verbalizing our love for God. Like we may have trouble verbalizing our love for our parents or for other people in our lives. And yet the reality of that love is so present and so overwhelming, even when we can't put it into words, even as little children. One of the things I'm aware of in this psalm is that the psalmist chose to make the child who is in her or his mother's arms a little older. This child is weaned. This child is probably learning how to walk and developing independence, and yet still knows the need for his or her parent, the way I've seen over and over again in children. Years ago, we were doing our vacation Bible school in the park in Aztec as a way of reaching out to our community and being outside the walls of our church. And one of the people that was helping me run Bible study or Bible school, her daughter was about 3 at the time. And we had sort of said, you know, here's the limits of where you need to be. And so, of course, her daughter decided that she needed to be on the other side of the park. And she continually sort of ran away. And her mother, as a good mother, ran after her with panicked yells and cries. And I finally said to her mother, the next time she does that, don't go after her. And she looked at me like I was crazy, but I said, trust me. If she gets too far away from you, she'll turn around and she'll come back on her own. And so sure enough, this little girl ran off, and she got almost to the sandbox, and she turned around and she looked. Where was her mother? And she came running back. Children are so aware of where their parents are. They trust that safety net. They want their parents to be in their lives and to pay attention at any age. Whether it's the cries on the playground of a child that says, "Look at me, watch me." Or even sometimes teenagers who seem way more independent and stubborn and rebellious, but still need the love of their parents to give them guidance and help them grow and to flourish. We understand this. And in understanding this, we understand how God loves and cares for us. And our own love and care for God. So we read the psalm, and we can express adoration towards God. The second part of that prayer formula is confession. To confess our sins. To confess our willfulness. That may make the first verse of this three-verse psalm difficult for you. I have not lifted my eyes. I have not been haughty. I have not sought things too great for me. Does that mean we're not ever supposed to seek great things? Sometimes we equate humility with being a doormat, but I don't think that's what this psalmist is saying at all, especially if it was David who wrote it. He sought great things, but he had this realization. We have this realization that for all the things in our lives, we come up against things we can't control, that we might not even be able to change or influence, and that's frustrating. Sometimes we encounter things in our lives with our health or our jobs or the way the world is changing that just simply feel out of control. And part of us wants to do something, and sometimes what we're called to do is trust God. Sometimes what we need to do is remember to take those moments to trust God. But the psalm is a reminder that sometimes we are willful and stubborn in God's presence. Sometimes we want to be God and make the world march to our beat rather than allowing God to be God. So the thing parents quickly discover when their children start walking is that they are their own individual persons. And they make their own decisions, and they can be willful, and they can be stubborn. And that's why we call the terrible twos the terrible twos. Because there are temper tantrums, and there are bad choices and disobedience. That's really the age of the child that has come to rest in her or his parents' shoulder. Sometimes we too are willful. Sometimes we too struggle. I would remind you of the Apostle Paul's conversion experience on the road to Damascus when Jesus Christ appears to him. One of the things Jesus asks him is, "Why do you kick against the goads? Why do you struggle so hard against me?" We do struggle. And I'll just remind you that in the third verse of this psalm, as a psalmist prays for Israel, that Israel literally means the one who struggles with God. We fight so hard to trust God or to rest in God. When truly That is who we were created to be. Just the way early on, you see infants fighting sleep, even when you know that they're exhausted, and they wind up crying and being fussy, because even though they know they're tired, they don't want to let go, even for that moment. We don't want to let go, or to rest, or to trust, even when God has created us to be people who can rest and who can trust. And so we read the psalm and we find the opportunity for confession. The third part of that prayer formula is thanksgiving. Thanking God for the gifts that God has given us, and reminding us that one of those gifts is rest. One of those gifts is stillness. As hard as it is to master, God calls us to be a worshiping people. God calls us to weekly worship so that we can still our hearts and our lives and be in God's presence and be renewed and rejuvenated. And for that, we are thankful. We are a people of the Sabbath, that belief that there should be time set aside to rest, for renewal and restoration and being in God's presence. As hard as that may be, but to know that that is God's gift to us, and for that, we need to be thankful. The last way to read the psalm is supplication. Perhaps it may be the most important way. Because let's face it, sometimes we are haughty. Sometimes we involve ourselves in things bigger than we need to. Or at least we don't trust God to be involved in them, or to take the time to rest. So it's a way of evaluating our lives. It's a way of asking God for that stillness in the center of our being and rest in our lives so that we can be renewed and re-energized for the battle that lies ahead. Years ago, Twyla Paris put out a song that's called "The Warrior is a Child." And the lyrics talked about all the hard battles and struggles that we face. But sometimes, she said, the warrior is a child. Sometimes, and she affirmed sort of that need in the midst of struggle and battle to go to God and to simply be in God's presence. Even Jesus said that if we don't come to God with the humbleness of a little child, we can't truly be in God's presence. And so this psalm, as we sing it, as we read it, as we pray it, can become the prayer of our own hearts to be in God's presence and to be still. Psalm is a lullaby. It's meant to remind us that God is in control, that God will give us rest and renew our strength for whatever challenges lie ahead, for wherever the journey takes us. The psalm reminds us to pray and to trust that God is in control. Amen.